Masechet Baba Mesi'a Daf Tet Vav. We're talking about the opinion of Shmuel regarding the following case of a thief who steals land from an original owner. And then the thief sells that land to an unsuspecting buyer for, say, $1 million. The buyer then improves the land. He puts $100,000 into the land, and then the owner comes and repossesses his property. Now, the buyer certainly can go to the thief and say, give me the purchase price back, the principal of $1 million. He certainly has a right to do that. However, what about the extra $100,000 of improvement that he put in? According to Shmuel, he cannot sue the thief for that money. The reason is because that looks like interest. He gave the thief $1 million. If he would get back $1.1 million after a certain amount of time, well, then that's very much like interest. This is not like a regular case of buying and selling. If I sell something to you and then it goes up in price, I can buy it back for a bigger amount, because there it's a sale, and each part of the sale, right, the sale and the buying back are two different transactions, and so that does not constitute interest and does not look like interest. But in this case, there never was an actual sale. That land didn't belong to the thief in the first place to give to the buyer. The buyer never legitimately owned it. And therefore, Shmuel says, in this case, this looks like interest, and therefore the buyer cannot get that payment of enhancement back from the thief. This is different from a case of a borrower who borrows money from a lender and gives to the lender a lien on land that the borrower owns. And then the borrower sells that land to a buyer, which is perfectly legitimate. It's his land and he can sell it. But then the borrower defaults on the loan and has no money, and the lender comes and repossesses that land from the buyer. In the meantime, the buyer had put in $100,000 of improvement in the land. In that case, the lender can take the land, including the improvement, and then the buyer can go and collect not only the principal, but also the improvement of the land from the seller. The reason is because here there was a legitimate sale, and so it doesn't look like interest, right? He had the land, the buyer owned the land legitimately. He paid $1 million for it, and now it was taken away from him. So if he gets back $1.1 million for the money that he put in himself, that's totally fine, according to Shmuel. All right, so now we're going to ask a question against Shmuel. V'sava Shmuel lokech migazan let le shevacha. Does Shmuel really think that if someone buys property from a thief, then, and it gets repossessed, then he can only sue for the principal amount, but not for the enhancement of the land? Didn't Shmuel tell Rav Chinena Bar Shelat, who himself was a scribe, and he said, listen, when you're writing a sale document, make sure to ask them, and if they do want, write down that this sale has a guarantee. That should it be repossessed, then the buyer will be able to take to collect back again the higher price of the land. Should the price of the land go up, is one interpretation of Shufra, and improvement of the land. If the buyer puts in $100,000, he'll be able to get that money back. And produce, if there's produce on the land and that gets repossessed, then the buyer will be able to collect that amount from the seller. So you see from here that a buyer is permitted to take all these things and collect even the shevach. Shmuel here says that the buyer does not get shevach in the case of gazlan. And here he says, make sure to put it in so that buyers can get the shevach. Now, what case are we talking about here? Bemai, ibe ba'al chov mi'it le'pereh. Why is this land being repossessed? Is it being repossessed by a lender, meaning it was a legitimate sale, the borrower really owned this land, but had a lien on it to a lender, and then sold it to the buyer, and now it's being repossessed by the lender because the borrower defaulted on the loan? Well, in that case, would the lender be able to collect produce? That he doesn't collect produce. V'amar Shmuel, Baal Chov Gober Tashebach, Shebach In Aval Perot Lo. Shmuel says that the lender can collect the improvement on the land, but he only said improvement on the land, not the produce. The buyer gets to keep whatever produce is on the land, so he wouldn't have to get paid back for it. So this peder doesn't make sense. Ela la belokeach mi gazlan. Rather, it must be that why is this land being repossessed? It's being repossessed because it was stolen by the seller. And so we see that in this case of a buyer that buys land from a thief, you should write in the document, just in case, it must be talking about a thief because it talks about produce. And so therefore, it also says shevach. That means that a buyer can sue the thief, not only for principal, but also for the enhancement. Good question. Amar Rav Yosef, hacha b'maiskinan kegon sheyesh lo karka. Rav Yosef said this statement here, the second one of Shmuel, where it says that he does collect, that's talking about a case only where the thief has other land, and instead of paying the buyer $1 million for what he plus the $1.1 million for the enhancement, instead of paying him in cash, if he pays in cash, it'll be a problem for Shmuel because that would look like interest. However, it's where the thief has other land, and the thief says, oh, they repossessed that land because it was stolen. You know what? I'll repay you with some other piece of land. And if he does that, then he can give him another piece of land that's worth $1.1 million to account for the shevach also that the buyer had put in. And that would not look like interest because he's just giving him a piece of land back, not cash. Amar le'abaye, v'chi mutar ledvot se'a b'se'a, b'mkon sheyesh lo karka. Abaye challenges this. There's a Drabanan rule we're going to see later in this masechet about borrowing a se'a, is a volume, a measurement of grain. And it says a borrower cannot borrow a se'a of grain and then give back the same amount of grain 6 months later, the same volume, even though it's the exact same amount of grain, but the price of se'a fluctuates in different seasons, goes up, it goes down. And so it could be that he'll borrow at a time when the se'a is cheap and then pay it back when the se'a is expensive. And then that would be also interest that would be prohibited as interest, at least midrabanan. So that is prohibited, even though you're borrowing and paying in kind. And we don't make an exception in a case where the borrower owns land. So what? Great, your own land, but you're still not allowed to lend out one se'ah and then get a se'ah back. It's not no good, even if the borrower has land. So what's the difference between this case and that case? Right, if land doesn't help in se'ah b'se'ah, why should it help in the case of a thief? Rav Yosef has an answer. Amar le, hatam halva'a, hacha zibine. In the case of se'ah and se'ah, that's talking about a loan. In the case of a loan, so then that this is a loan. If it was cash, it would certainly be prohibited. That's the classic case of lending one amount and then getting back a higher amount. And so we apply that also to if it's an item and it's an item that goes up in value, that will also apply interest. And so there it's prohibited no matter what, and it's not going to help if you have land. Whereas here, this case that Shmuel was talking about is a land sale. And so a land sale, well, the only problem is that this land is stolen. And so the land really never transferred to the buyer. Yes, that's a problem. And now it looks like he gave $1 million in cash and is getting $1.1 million back. But if there is land, then so the thief can give the land instead. And so therefore, there's no problem of even looking like it's interest. But this is otherwise a case of a sale that we're worried about. And so it's a step removed from a case of a loan. And that's why it's different. Ika de amre, another version of that conversation. Amar Rav Yosef, hacha maizkinan kegon shekanu miyado. Rav Yosef says a different answer to this question. How could this is the original Shmuel said one thing, and then another statement of Shmuel said the opposite. And so he answers this second statement where Shmuel says that the buyer can sue for the enhancement is when they made an extra a deal. They performed an acquisition specifically for the acquisition. In other words, at the time of the sale, when the buyer bought this land, he said, listen, besides the land, I want you to take this handkerchief and give me from now any enhancement that I put into the land, you are responsible for. And they do a whole acquisition just for that. In that case, it won't look like interest. It won't be interest. It won't even look like interest because that the buyer owns the right to collect the enhancement from the thief already from the time of the sale. So that's built into their transaction. And that's why it's permitted. But if they didn't make a special transaction for the enhancement, then that's when Shmuel said that he cannot sue for it. Now, in this version, Abaye is the same thing. From se'ah b'se'ah, you're not allowed to lend a se'ah and then get back a se'ah because it could be a higher price. What? And you think if you do a special a formal acquisition at the time of the loan and say, listen, if you should go up in price, then I'm acquiring that amount from now. Would that make it any better? It would not. So why should it make it any better here? And Rav Yosef gives the answer. In that case, after all, it is a loan. And so this still looks very much like interest because it is a loan. And so doing this extra acquisition is not going to help. But in this case, it's a sale. And the sale is different from a loan. And there's much less reason to connect a sale to a loan. In this case, Shmuel is stringent because the land never actually transfers because the thief never owns it and the buyer never has it. So that's why he says it kind of looks like a loan. But it's not a loan at all. It was just it is a sale, at least an attempt at a sale. And therefore, as long as you do something else, like make an acquisition separately for the enhancement, then that is sufficient for it not to look anything like interest, because it's not even a loan to begin with. Good. Gufa. Amar Shmuel. Bal chob gober ta shevach. Now we're going to analyze further what Shmuel said, that a lender can repossess the enhancement. In other words, the lender lent money to a borrower and he has a lien on the borrower's land. The borrower sells the land to a buyer, legitimate sale. The buyer, for $1 million, the buyer puts $100,000 of enhancement. The borrower, the buyer puts $100,000 of enhancement into the land. The borrower defaults on his loan. The lender comes, collects not only the land, but even the enhancement of the land. Right? Let's say the loan was for that amount, $1.1 million. And so he collects all of the land. Shmuel says that he does. And for that reason, it goes in tandem that the buyer can then collect from the borrower, who is also the seller, the $1.1 million, right? That's the opinion of Shmuel. If the lender repossesses, then the buyer can get the enhancement as well because the enhancement was taken away from him. And so he can get it. It doesn't look like interest because it's a legitimate sale. Amar Rava, Teda, Shekach Kotev Lo Mocher LaLokech. Rava says, I have a proof that Shmuel is right because that when someone is selling land, the seller writes in the document to the buyer as follows: Ane kum ve'ashape ve'adake ve'amarik zibini ilen inun ve'amalehon ushbachehon ve'kum kodamach ve'sabi zibina denan ve'kabil alohi. This is a quote from an actual land sale written in Aramaic because everybody spoke Aramaic, similar to a ketuvah at a wedding. And here the seller says, and he writes in the document, I will stand and silence and purify and cleanse the sale, meaning I'm responsible for anything that happens to the sale. If it gets repossessed, I will pay for it. And it further says, not only the property itself, but any labor that the buyer invests in it and the enhancement that he puts in it, I will give it back to you, says the seller. And then the witnesses say, right, this we testify that the seller consented and accepted upon himself this all of these stipulations. So you see here, it includes the enhancement. So you see that the enhancement is collected by the lender and is then can therefore be collected by the buyer from the seller. Amar le Rav Chiya bar Abin le Rava ele ma'ata matana de la ketiv le hachi hachi name de la tarif shebacha. Amar le'in, this is a really good question. What about if the borrower doesn't sell it, but rather gives it as a gift to a receiver? In the case of a gift, there's no document, doesn't have this, I mean, it could be a document, but it doesn't have all this language. And so now when the owner, when the lender comes and repossesses this land, it's a gift with a lien, right? Some gift that is, right? Thanks a lot. So the borrower owns land that has a lien to the lender, but then he gifts it to a friend. And then the friend puts money into the land, $100,000 of enhancement into the land. The borrower defaults on the loan. The lender can only take the principal amount of the land, but cannot take the enhancement because the enhancement is not mortgaged to the lender. And that fits with the language here. See this language where a buyer gets a guarantee for not only the principal, but also the enhancement. Oh, so he needs this guarantee because the enhancement is mortgaged over to the lender who would take it. But in the case of a gift, then would you say, does that make any sense that for a gift, the lender does not take the enhancement because there's no guarantee on it and there's no mortgage on it, right? Does that make sense? And the answer is, yes, indeed, that is the case. So are you saying that a gift is stronger than a sale? And when the lender sells something, so then he's selling the principal, but it has a mortgage on it. And he's like, oh, also a mortgage on any improvement that you have. So in other words, the sale is more contingent, right? There's a mortgage on more parts of it that he has to guarantee. But a gift, you're saying, even though the receiver is not paying for it, receiver got it for free, and yet you're going to say that giving a gift is stronger because there's no more, the mortgage only applies to the principal, but not on any enhancement. And so really a gift that you don't pay for is a stronger transfer than a sale that you do pay for. And the answer is yes, in fact, that's the case. Amar Rav Nachman, ha matnita misayat le lemor Shmuel, vehuna vechabrin mokim la b'mili acharini. Rav Nachman, who was quoting Shmuel all the way from that back from yesterday's daf, says that the following braita supports the master Shmuel, even though Rav Huna and his colleagues, they explain this braita in a different way. So Rav Nachman is very good. He's telling you, I think this is a proof, but not everybody agrees with me. So he's giving a caveat that you could explain this source otherwise. Detanya, hamocher sadeh lechavero verehi yosam mitachat yado, kishu gobe et hakeren minechasim meshubadim, veshevach vigobe minechasim benechorin. Someone who sells land to his friend, and then it gets repossessed. This braita doesn't say whether it got repossessed because it was stolen land or because it was a lender. That's what we have to discuss. Now, when the buyer comes to recollect his money, he can collect the principal from even the sold property of the seller, but enhancement that he puts in, he can only collect from the available property that the seller currently has. So this is a case where he can collect enhancement. Now, it doesn't say what case this is talking about, but Rav Nachman assumes that this is talking about a case of a lender and a borrower, and the borrower legitimately owns this land, and he gives over a lien to the lender, and then he sells it, and now it gets recollected by the lender, and the lender repossesses the land and the enhancement, and that's why the buyer can go and get the principal plus the enhancement, even though one is from the even unsold land and one is not. So this is a proof for Shmuel that one can receive, the lender can repossess the land and also the enhancement, and therefore the buyer can go to the borrower and get that the enhancement also from him. However, Rav Huna and his colleagues, they say that this case is talking about buying from a thief. And according to Rav Huna, when one buys from a thief, and the owner comes, the owner can collect the improvement and the buyer can go and sue for the improvement also. This is different from the way that Rav Nachman understood Shmuel. So since they're saying this is talking about a buyer, it's not talking about a case of a borrower. And then according to his interpretation, there would be no proof from this Baraita for the opinion of Shmuel regarding a case of a borrower. Good. Tanya Idach. There's another Baraita. Someone sells land to his friend and the buyer put in $100,000 of improvement. And then saw the lender, so this is definitely talking about a case of repossession by a lender. He comes in and takes it. Kishu gobe im ha-shevach yoter al yesiya. Noten et ha-shevach mi-baal karka. Ve-yitzia mi-baal chob. Ve-yitzia yitra la-shevach. En lo el ha-hosaa shi'ur shevach mi-baal chob. When the buyer comes to collect what he lost, because the land that he paid for and put improvement in now got repossessed. So he's going to get the principal amount from the seller. That's for sure. But what about the enhancement? Now it depends. If the enhancement is more than the amount that he, than his expenses. Let's say he put in $100,000. And because of the $100,000, now it's worth $150,000 all told, because the enhancement was a good investment. Well, in that case, he can collect the extra part of the enhancement, that extra $50,000, from the original owner of the land, meaning the seller, and the expenses that he put into it, the $100,000, he can go to the lender who collected the entire property and get that $100,000 from him. On the other hand, if the expenses were more than the actual value of the enhancement of the field, meaning he put in $100,000, but it was not a great investment, the field only went up $25,000 in value. Well, then the buyer can only collect the amount that it went up, meaning only the $25,000, only that portion of the expenses that he put into it, and that he gets from the lender. Okay, so that's the braita. Here's the question. V'hashimu'el b'may mokim la, what case are we talking about? I belokech mi gazlan kashya resha. Damar Shimu'el lokech mi gazlan let leshevacha. If we're talking about a case of someone who bought it from a thief, and the original owner came and repossessed it. This is a bit difficult in the wording because it says ba'al chov, not the original owner. Okay, but if let's say you say ba'al chov really means lav davka, but it's the original owner. So even if you're going to switch out this word, still the resha is difficult because Shmuel said that where a buyer from a thief cannot collect shevach, cannot sue the thief for the enhancement. And here, he is suing both parties, and one of the parties is in fact bala karka, meaning the seller. He takes it from him. He's also not bala karka because he's a thief. So it's doubly difficult to fit this into the words. And in any case, it wouldn't fit with the law of Shmuel, because here it says he can sue the thief for a part of the enhancement, but Shmuel says he cannot. If it's talking about a lender, and it's the lender that comes and repossesses the land from the buyer, and then we have a problem from the resha and the sefa, because Shmuel says that a lender can legitimately repossess the land plus the enhancement, and he doesn't have to pay back anything for that. The buyer has to go and figure it out with the seller, and the lender does not have to give anything. But here, in both cases, it says that the buyer can go and get some money back from the lender, and that's also against Shmuel. So we have two answers. Ibat ema belokach migazlan kigon sheyesh lo karka iname shekanu miyado. Really, could be talking about a case where he buys it from a thief, and then the original owner came and recollected it. And the thief has land, and we said above that if the thief has land, then even Shmuel would agree it doesn't look like interest, and therefore the buyer can sue the seller for the value of the enhancement. Or it's talking about a case where at the time of the sale, they made a special transaction for the enhancement that the seller would have to give to the buyer, because they made a special transaction. It doesn't look like interest anymore because that was built in, that he would owe that from the beginning. That's one answer. Or we could say that braita is in fact talking about a lender who repossesses the property from the buyer. And really, a lender gets to take all of the enhancement and shouldn't have to pay the buyer back anything. However, the Braita was talking about a case where the enhancement was already reaching one's shoulders. In other words, it was grain growing on the land and it was almost fully grown and basically ripened. It just needed to be harvested. Or either that it was up to the shoulders or harvested and carried on one's shoulders. The point is, it was ready for harvesting. And therefore, the lender, although he has a right to collect the land with the improvement, does not have a right to collect perot, the produce. And here, this is already produce because it's all ripe. That's why he came and took the land with this fully grown grain on it. That's why the buyer can come and say, hey, you have to give me back that grain. That's what the Braita was talking about when he gets that enhancement back. Whereas Shmuel's statement was talking about where the enhancement has not grown that much. And so this is just considered enhancement to the land and part of the land, not produce, which the lender has a right to take and does not have to pay anything back. We challenge this answer because every day we have cases where that come before Shmuel like this, and Shmuel, where you have a lender who repossesses land from a buyer, and even though the enhancement does not grow all the way to the shoulders, it's just a little bit of unripe produce that's on the land, which is considered just enhancement and part of the land. And yet Shmuel says to the buyer, you know what? You can go and recollect that from the lender. So how come Shmuel allows that, even though that should be considered just part enhancement that the lender should be able to keep? And the answer is Lakashya. Hadi masek be kishiur ad'a ushbacha. Hadi la masek be ela kishiur ad'a. Deheb le shebache umesalek le. There's no problem. When Shmuel said that the buyer cannot go and recollect anything from the lender, that's where the lender is owed that same amount of the land plus the enhancement, right? Let's say the sale was for $1 million and then the buyer put in $100,000. Well, it turns out that the lender was owed $1.1 million. And so now he gets to collect the whole thing. So that's the standard case. He has a right to the enhancement also. And now the buyer has no claim against the lender. The buyer has to go and deal with the seller to get any money back. Whereas in the things that Shmuel does every day, in all of those cases where Shmuel allows the buyer to go and get some produce back, even though the produce isn't ripe, that's talking about a case where the lender was only owed $1 million. And so he comes and takes all of the land with that enhancement on it, which is worth $1.1 million, but he only needs to collect $1 million. In that case, the buyer comes and says, oh, you took more than you're owed, so you have to give me back $100,000. And that's the cases that Shmuel was dealing with on that regular basis. Now that answer is okay for this one opinion. There's another machloket that's related that we're relating to this. That opinion says, if the buyer, let's say the buyer has cash, he has $1 million with him, and he bought this land that has a mortgage. Now the seller defaults on the loan that he had to that lender. The lender comes and he says, I have a mortgage on your land, Mr. Buyer, give me the land. Now, let's say the buyer says, listen, what do you owe? $1 million? Here, I'll give you the $1 million and I'll keep the land because I like the land. There is one opinion that says that the buyer cannot do that. He cannot remove the claim of the lender from the land by paying him. If you follow that opinion, then this answer that we just said makes sense, because then the lender has a right to the land because he has a mortgage on the land. He has a mortgage on the improvement also, should he need it, if his loan was that big. And therefore, he has a right to take the land, and the buyer cannot say, I want to keep the land. So then it makes sense that the lender takes all of the land and then pays the $100,000 in cash. That's a good answer. But according to the other opinion that says that the buyer can say, oh, well, I'll pay you $1 million in cash, and I'm removing your claim to the land. If you say that, nemale ilu hava liduze hava mesalik mesalikinach mikolad a hashtadelet lizuze habli garbadad a bad ashi or shibhai, then the buyer should be able to tell the lender, if I had money, I could remove your entire claim and keep all of the land. It happens to be I don't have $1 million, but nevertheless, you won't, your claim is only for $1 million, and I put an enhancement of 100,000. So give me 10% of the land. Let me keep the land itself, and don't take all of the land, and then I have to go and get the money from you. I want to have a little piece of the land. So then the lender would not have the ability to take all of the land. He could only take 90% of the land to cover his loss, to cover the amount of the loan. So then this answer doesn't work. And we answer, Hachab Maiskinan, Kegon Shasoa Potiki Damale, Lo Yehelecha Peda'on Elamizo. No, we're talking about a case here where lender decided with the borrower that he's going to collect from this land specifically. It was not a general mortgage on all of the land that the borrower has, because in that case, according to this second opinion, the buyer can say, I'll pay you the money instead. But if at the time of the loan, he said, I want you to designate that particular land for my repayment, then even this opinion that says, in the normal case, the buyer would be able to pay his way and keep the land, if it's specifically designated, then the lender for sure has a right to take all of the land. And if the land is worth more with the enhancement than the original loan amount, then he takes all the land and he says, no, you cannot keep any of the land. I will only pay you the amount of your enhancement. And that this resolves all of the different sources. We now move to a next related topic, but this section is a lot easier to read. Hikir ba she'ena shelo ulkacha. Similar case of a buyer who buys stolen land and he knows it's stolen, right? Thief stole land from the original owner, and then the buyer, knowing that this doesn't belong to him, still paid $1 million for it. Which is strange. Why would you pay money for land that you know is stolen and therefore is likely to be repossessed? Well, there's a machloket about this case. Amar Rav, ma'ot yesh lo, shevach en lo. Ushmel amar, afilu ma'ot en lo. Now, when this land gets repossessed by the original owner, can the buyer get the money back? Rav says he can get the principal amount back, but if the buyer put enhancement into it, which is extra strange, right? You bought stolen land, and then you put $100,000 into the land also. No, you cannot get the enhancement. And Shmuel says, you even lost the principal, right? You knew it was stolen, and you paid for something that you knew does not belong to the seller. So you just gave him money, and you can't get anything back. What's the explanation of their controversy? Rav Savad Adam Yodea Shekarka En Lo, Vegamar Venatam Leshum Pikadon. The buyer knows that this land does not belong to him, but he's giving the money anyway because he has in mind that this money will be as a deposit. He has $1 million that he wants this seller to hold for him, so-called seller, thief. To hold for him. I don't know why you'd want a thief to watch $1 million for you. But in any case, they have a good relationship. They trust each other. Could be he's a thief for other people, but this is his friend. And so he's really giving him $1 million to hold on for him. And he happens to make it like part of a sale. So we ask, well, then why not say, here's $1 million. Can you hold it for me? Why is he saying that I'm giving you this money as payment for land that you doesn't even own? And the answer is Savad Lamekabel, because the buyer here, the giver of this $1 million, figures that, you know what, he's not going to accept a deposit. If I say, can you watch $1 million for me? He's going to say, no, I don't want that responsibility. So instead, we're using a pretext and say, oh, I'm giving you this as a sale. And then I'll know that once the land gets repossessed, then I'll get the $1 million back from him. And so it's a convenient way of having him watch that money for me. Ushmel sabar adam yodea shekarka en lo vegamar venatan leshum matana venemar leshum matana kesifale mileta. Shmuel says the buyer knows that this land does not belong to him to sell. And he's not really going to get the land. But he's giving $1 million as a gift. He wants to give a gift. So now we ask, well, why not just give a gift? Why say I'm giving this $1 million as part of a purchase? Just say, you know what? It's your birthday. I want to give you this money. So the answer is because the seller, receiver of that $1 million, is embarrassed to just take a gift like that, like he's a beggar. He doesn't want it. It's funny because he's a thief also. Okay, but you could have a thief who's also embarrassed. He's not embarrassed to steal someone else, some stranger's money, but he doesn't want to take the $1 million from his good friend. So, but if you use a pretext of it being a sale, as if it's a sale, then he won't feel embarrassed. Okay. That's the explanation of Rav and Shmuel. Now we challenge. Rav and Shmuel have the very same machloket in a different context. Why would they have to say it twice? We could have figured out one from the other. Here's the other context. Itmar. Hamkadesh et achoto. Rav amar ma'ot chozrin, Ushmel amar ma'ot matana. Someone who tries to do kiddushin with his sister. He gives $100 to his sister. Hared mikudeshet li. Now, this does not effectuate a kiddushin at all. It doesn't work. It's not even prohibited because you just can't do it. It doesn't do anything. So the question is, since it doesn't effectuate kiddushin, can the brother get the money back from the sister? Rav says, yes, he can take the money back. And Shmuel says, no, it's a gift. He can't get it back. Let's explain. Rav amar ma'ot chozrin, adam yodea shen kiddushin tofsin ba'achoto, ve'gamar ve'natan l'shum pikadon, ve'nema l'shum pikadon, sabar la mekabela mineh. Rav says that the brother can get the money back. He knows that kiddushin will not be effectuated with the sister, but he wants to give it as a deposit. He wants his sister to hold on to this $100 until later, and then he'll come get it back. Now we ask, why not say, can you hold this $100 for me? And the answer, he figured his sister is not going to accept it. She's not going to want to take responsibility for it. So instead, he says, "Aret mikudeshet li," he gives her the $100, and now she takes it. Turns out, well, there's no kiddushin. I don't know if she thought what she was thinking when she received it. But in any case, using this pretext, he can slip it in there and get his sister to wash the $100 for him. Ushmer lamar ma'ot matana. Adam yodea shein kiddushin tofsin ba'achoto. Ve'gamar v'natan l'shum matana. V'nema le'a mishum matana. Kesifala mileta. Shmuel says that this is a gift. A person knows that kiddushin will not be effectuated with his sister. And so he says, you know what? I want to give a gift to my sister. It's her birthday. So why not say, happy birthday, here's a gift? And the answer is that she would feel embarrassed. Oh, she doesn't like receiving gifts to be on the receiving end, like she needs it, like she's a beggar. She doesn't want to receive it. But if you use a pretext of, oh, kiddushin. And again, she must know that this is not actually going to work. But nevertheless, as it's more dignified, apparently, at least for her, than receiving a gift outright. Good. Now, that's the question. Why do we need the machloket between Rav and Shmuel in both of these cases? The answer is siricha. Di'it mar beha, beha kama rav, de la avdi inashe dehi matana lenukhra'a, aval legabe achoto, ema mode le'li Shmuel. I need it because if I only had the case of Rav regarding buying property from a robber, I would say that Rav says in the case of the robber that it's considered a deposit. Because people don't usually give gifts to a nochri here, means a non-family member, right? Just go to someone else and give a gift. It's more rare. So there, we could assume that he had in mind to give a deposit. But if it happened with his sister and he did kiddushin, then Rav, we might think, would agree with Shmuel that we can assume that the brother will consider this a gift and he can't get it back. And therefore, we need that case also of a family of a sister to teach that Rav, even in that case, would consider the gift, the giving of the money to the sister as a pikadon, as a deposit, and therefore can get it back. V'it mar behach, behach ka'amar Shmuel, aval beha ema modeh le'rav siricha. And I need also the case of the sister, because I would say, when does Shmuel consider it a gift? Only in the case where it's his close relative. But in the case of the robber, then I might have thought that Shmuel would agree with Rav that people don't usually give a gift to a foreign person, a non-relative, and he would agree with Shmuel that in that case, most people would consider it a deposit, and therefore the buyer can get it back from the robber. But not true. Shmuel says it's considered a gift in that case also, and that's why we need that case. That's why we need both cases. Ben l'rav d'amar pikadon, ben l'shmuel d'amar matana, hay l'ar'ah b'mayka nachit u'perot hechi achil. Now a question to both Rav, who says a deposit, and Shmuel says a matana. Both of them agree that the buyer knows that it's not really his property. So now we have a question. Why is he going and descending onto the property, using it, putting enhancement into it, and consuming the produce? Right? He knows that this is stolen land that doesn't belong to him. What business does he have in investing in it and consuming the produce? And the answer is sabar. Ana echutad avi abid echu begave ki echi dehava ka abid ihu. This so-called buyer says, you know what, I'm going to go take possession of the land, I'll work it, I'll put investment into it, I'll consume its produce, just like the seller would have done if it was really his land and I was really the buyer. So I'm going to treat it as if it was really a sale in the meantime. And then eventually, when the real owner of the field comes and repossesses it, then the money that I paid, I will consider for the real purpose that I was thinking, according to Rav, as a deposit, and Shmuel as a gift. Right? In other words, right now, we're doing this as a sale, and I know the sale is going to be temporary because the original owner is eventually going to come. But right now, we structured this as a sale, so I'll act like a buyer, and whatever produce I get out of it is fine. And then when the owner comes, so he gets his land. And what about the money? Okay, either it's a deposit and he'll get the money back from the seller, or it's a gift and he was happy to now have given the gift. Now Rava tells us the final halakha in these cases. When someone buys land that was stolen, and he doesn't know that it was stolen, and then eventually the owner comes and repossesses the land, the buyer can get the principal and also the enhancement of the land back from the thief. And even if they didn't specify at the time that you have to guarantee the enhancement, even if you don't say so, still it's assumed and he can get it. And in the case where the buyer knew that it was stolen, and he buys it anyway, he can get the money back. In other words, we're following the opinion of Rav in this, and also in the previous halakha is against Shmuel. He can get the principal because that's considered like a deposit. Although enhancement, as everybody agrees, he does not get any enhancement that he put into the land because he knew it was stolen. And regarding the other issue we had up above, achriut ha'ot sofer hu ben bishitere halva'a ben bishitere mekach u'mimkar, and a guarantee of sale. If it's not written in a document, we assume it anyway. And that's true both for a loan document and for a deed of sale, so that if someone lends out money and he gets the contract and the contract doesn't say that the lender has a lien on the land of the borrower, he still has a lien on the land of the borrower. And similarly, when someone buys land, he gets a guarantee from the seller that should it be repossessed, that the seller has to make the buyer good. That's true, even if it doesn't say so in the text of the sale, and we saw the text of the sale above, and nevertheless, we assume that that's just a mistake on the part of the scribe who forgot to put it in, but that it's assumed anyway, and therefore the buyer can go and collect the sale price from the seller when his land got repossessed. Baruch Adonai Leolam, Amen v'Amen.